And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Awesome Mania, where we're talking WWE Draft. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
And so real quick, I'm going to do a quick rundown on everything real quick, and then Ben's going to shit all over it. And then we'll go into the draft. So obviously with SmackDown moving to Fox, both USA Network and Fox Network both wanted specific rosters. They didn't want all this constant crossover stuff.
Yeah.
So, which is why we had the draft.
Correct.
And Fox showed Vince stuff from the recent NFL draft and says, this is kind of how we want it. Where like the commissioner does the announcing of the picks, you kind of see like the war rooms of the teams and stuff like that and whatnot. So that's how you had that. Now, as I just mentioned, they had the commissioner like Roger Goodell do the announcements of the draft picks for the NFL. It was determined apparently 2 or 3 days before SmackDown last week that Stephanie McMahon was going to be the person announcing all of the picks because they wanted somebody as from WWE, and being how she is the chief brand officer of the company, it worked for that. So, okay, Stephanie's doing the picks. Now, everybody was put in the two draft pools. You had a draft pool for Friday Night SmackDown, which you had 30 people put in the pool. 20 people. No, 30 people were Friday with
40.
It's 30 for, it was 30 for Friday and 40 for yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was 30 for, because keep in mind, it was 30 for Friday because there are 20 picks made on Friday, and it was 40 for Monday Night Raw last night because there were 30 picks made. So you had 4 rounds of 5 picks on Friday, and you had 3 rounds of 5 picks last night on Raw. So that is how we got to where we are now. Ben, which parts would you like to shit on so far?
Where do I start?
You were going on about the Stephanie McMahon stuff with me on
the text. Let's start with that, right?
Yeah.
The reason drafts work the way that they do in professional sports is 3 reasons. One, there are stakes. There are no stakes in a WWE draft. There aren't any. Zip, zero, zip, zilch, nothing, nada. At the end of the year, you don't get to the end of the year and Raw beats SmackDown, or SmackDown beats Raw, or NXT beats both of them, right? They just keep going. Two, traditional drafts work because teams have things they need. For example, I can turn to Mike and go, hey, Mike, you're a Washington Capitals fan.
Yep.
In the draft next year, what do you want to see them pick, up, and why?
Well, that's a great question, Ben, because it depends on where they're going to be picking in the draft.
Exactly. But you can look at a team and you go, okay, this team, or let's take in the NFL, for example, since that's kind of what they were basing off. This team needs help on special teams. It needs the offensive line. It needs the defensive line. And that there are people there. There are people there to analyze that and talk about that. Right.
And the other thing is that like NFL teams and NHL teams and NBA teams have scouts.
Yeah. Whereas what we got this time was the picks were made and then the draft panel went, this is why this is a good pick. Not this is what this team needs, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's also...
Sorry, carry on.
And I was going to say, and it's also known that yes, it's while it's true that both Fox and USA Network executives were involved with the picks because they wanted certain people on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Those war rooms.
We'll get to those.
Yeah.
The third reason that those things go, the traditional drafts work, is all the stuff that is going on around the draft, such as constant analysis from Mel Kiper Jr. when you're looking at the NFL, constant reporting from major top prospects homes, and those that are, or especially when those aren't people who are on site. There was no reaction from any wrestler on the show. It was all on YouTube afterwards, right? Remember the one year that Bischoff and Heyman were picking against each other, and you had all of the Raw locker room together, and you had all of the SmackDown locker room together, and Triple H got drafted away from Evolution, and like he spit out his water, and the entire locker room was like, nah, 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 like... When The Undertaker got drafted to Raw and he literally threw a fucking chair because he wanted to stay on SmackDown.
That was actually the very first draft because he didn't want to be with Flair.
Yeah.
Because that was the Ric Flair, Vince McMahon one.
But that's my point is like there was none. Hey, Tim. Hey, Don. There was none of that. There was none of that extracurricular stuff going on. Right.
It was very bland.
It was very, very bland. But more importantly, is there was no logical order to picks. There was no when they went to the draft board, when they went to the draft team, which was, if I remember, it was Samoa Joe, Renee, Booker, and
Beth Phoenix.
Beth, right? Not one of them ever went, and this is what they should be looking for down the line. It was always reacting to what had already been picked.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that. And the other thing that makes a draft work is sticking to the rules.
Yeah. We'll get to that part a little bit soon, because obviously once we get through day one, we'll talk about the undrafted. And this is where the rules really come into play.
Yeah. So, and the other thing that makes a draft viable is that everyone is viable, right? Sure, you may not be picking Dave from Iowa State in the first 10 picks, but he's an option. Notice that there was one champion available on Friday, and it was AJ Styles.
Three. You had Becky Lynch, AJ Styles, and the Revival.
Bear in mind that Becky was first pick, so she wasn't really available.
But you had three champions. You had Becky Lynch. I mean, technically, she was available.
Yeah.
AJ Styles with the U.S. title and the Revival with the SmackDown tag team titles.
Yeah.
So you had three champions that were available for Friday. Everyone else was available on Monday, except for the fact that Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode lost the tag team titles to the Viking Raiders. So a Friday night
pick. But they weren't the champions at the time.
Yeah.
Viking Raiders were not champions at the time. Right?
Yep.
That was just awful, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It was just garbage. The draft order makes no sense.
So, like, here's the thing.
Even after WWE spoiled it.
Yeah, like, so here's the thing. Like, you had the match between Seth and Roman for who would get the first pick overall. But you know that Raw is going to get three picks and SmackDown is going to get two because of the whole 3 hours to 2 hours thing.
Yep.
So you always know that Raw is going to pick first, no matter what, unless they got rid of that two, three things.
What they would do is they do, if SmackDown had won, they'd have done SmackDown, SmackDown, Raw, Raw, Raw.
Yeah. And, but they like the whole Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, yeah. Raw. They like that a lot better because it's a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
Or it looks better on paper.
Yeah.
But
the other thing is, what a shitty way to end that match. That is the one thing that night that had any stakes at all. And they ended it in a fucking DQ. Just yep. like they had the very night beforehand.
So, would you like to... Okay, actually, you know what? Let's go for some of the draft picks. And when I get to a certain name... And then when I get... And then when I get to a certain name... When I get to a certain name...
Yeah.
And we talk about the executives. Go to town.
All sure. Right.
So, first pick overall was Becky Lynch. Second pick overall was Roman Reigns to SmackDown. Wait,
hang on a minute. The two people that were on the cover of the video game were number one and number two overall? Surely not.
Oh, but then it gets better. Pick number three is the OC. All three members. Pick number four was Bray Wyatt. Pick number five was Drew McIntyre. That was your first round.
Why, out of interest, how did the OC go as a unit?
Because they both networks had the certain teams were put in as teams.
Yeah.
And if the network only wanted one specific person, they could actually take that one specific person.
But the OC on the team, they're a stable.
So, yeah. Well, they took all three members of the OC.
That wasn't in the rules. Tag teams you could take as a single pick.
Well, the same could be said about New Day.
No, because they have defended the tag team titles with the Freebird rule. They are all a member of that tag team.
That's also true. So that was... So that was round number one. The notable pick was obviously the currently out injured Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. Overall, I think in my notes, I think five people who are currently out injured were drafted overall between the 2 days.
Between these 2 days, yeah.
Yeah. In the second round, you had Randy Orton go to Raw, Sasha the SmackDown, Ricochet to Raw, and Braun Strowman the SmackDown, and Bobby Lashley to Raw for round number two. How is
Bobby Lashley a number 10 draft pick?
Yeah.
All right. This is going to come up a lot. They drafted Bobby Lashley above Kevin Owens.
Yep. In the third round...
They drafted Bobby Lashley above Cesaro.
In the third round, you had Raw pick Alexa Bliss, SmackDown select Lacey Evans.
Before we get move on from Alexa Bliss, can you tell me who was picked 18th overall this night?
I'll get there in a moment.
No, just tell me who.
It was Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
But, they were not in there as a tag team. I double checked the official.
They literally had held the tag team titles until the night before.
Yeah, they. So
nowhere did they say they were ending their run as a tag team. Nowhere did they say they were splitting up.
But they were put into the draft.
I don't like. I'm not asking you to fucking defend this. Shut the fuck up. Again, we hearken back to sticking to your own rules. Why were Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross not in there as a tag team?
Same could be said about Luke Harper and Eric Rowan because they're technically a tag team and they're in there as individuals as well.
This is true.
So, but anyways, going back to round three.
I was going to bring that up when we got to Eric Rowan, but...
Yeah. So... You had Bliss, then Evans, then Owens.
I'm going to say this again. Lacey Evans picked before Kevin Owens.
The Revival went to remained on SmackDown. And then the 15th pick, this is where you get to come into town with the executives, Natalya. For those of you who are listening, Ben has just put his face in his hands.
So throughout the evening, they were showing us the quote unquote war rooms of Fox and the USA Network. Now, there is no way these were actual executives. They were clearly actors. And they were told to act like they were hanging up the phone and they were either super happy about the pick they got or they were watching telly and they were super mad that someone had drafted someone out from underneath them.
Yep.
They showed the Fox executives, sorry, the USA executives being super fucking happy that they drafted Natalia. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. First of all, while you're thinking about the fact that they were super happy.
Bennett just said that I don't know what you're talking about. The Fox robot looked legit.
The robot was a dude dressed up. I'm talking about the actual other people. I doubt the
robot was an executive. That's a mascot.
While you're thinking about the idea that they were actually celebrating that they got Natalia, I would also like to point out that at the beginning of each one of these ones they're celebrating, they're hanging up the phone, right? And then they're celebrating. Like, they're like, yeah, we got her. You know you got her because Steph's got to walk out on the fucking stage with five picks written down. There is no tension there. I don't know who. Oh, you're talking about the boxing match. I don't care. I hope they both go away. But if they'd shown the USA people celebrating after getting like Drew McIntyre or the OC or Ricochet or Randy Orton, I could have understood, right? But Natalia? And then they show this thing when it says Natalia drafted to Raw, and that gives her like career highlights. Former SmackDown Women's Champion, daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. That's kind of it. I don't know whether they were like the queen. Oh shit, we can draft Charlotte. Do you mean Queen of Hearts? It's not Charlotte? No, that's Jim Neidhart's daughter. Bah, fuck it.
And then in the final round, you had the Viking Raiders go to Raw, Lucha House Party go to SmackDown. Nikki Cross. I would like to
point out the Lucha House Party. Three people in a single tag team who are actually a tag team. But also, the Lucha House Party drafted above Cesaro, EC3, Chad Gable, Heath Slater.
Number 18 was Nikki Cross. Number 19 going to SmackDown was Heavy Machinery. And the last pick going to Raw was the Street Profits.
I don't get the hype behind Heavy Machinery, but I guess I'm the only person who doesn't.
Now,
everyone I know loves them, but they're just not.
Now, per the rule.
Yep.
Per the rule.
So Michael Cole come before. Ryder and Hawkins weren't in the draft pool for Friday. They were in the draft pool for Monday.
Yeah.
So Michael Cole at the beginning of the evening said, anyone who isn't drafted by the end of tonight from this draft pool will go unsigned, undrafted, and will be considered free agents.
And those free agents are Cesaro, Humberto Carrillo, Akira Tozawa, Sin Cara, Eric Young, EC3, Chad Gable, Heath Slater, Drew Gulak, the B-Team, and Tamina.
Hello, Tony.
So, fun fact. Did you know that they did a draft on Sunday?
No, because they weren't supposed to do that.
So on Sunday, they did a draft. Now, one name I didn't mention as part of this draft pool because he wasn't part of it. Sin Cara, Eric Young, and EC3 were drafted to Raw. Heath Slater, Drew Gulak, the B Team, and Tamina were all drafted to SmackDown, along with Apollo Crews, who was part of the Day 2 draft pool. Which leaves Cesaro, Humberto Carrillo, Akira Tozawa, and Chad Gable, now known as Shorty Gable, as the free agents from draft pool day one.
So just to point that out again, they did a supplementary draft on Sunday, drafting someone who wasn't even a legal draftee yet.
Yep. So you ready for day two?
No. So one of the other things I wanted to talk about when it came to this is they had a bunch of the other Fox Sports people. They were supposed to be talking about the draft, right? So they had the commentators of Monday Night Football, some dude and Troy Aikman talking about wrestling.
Oh, yeah, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
Yeah. They didn't once actually talk about wrestling, about current wrestling. He just asked Troy Aikman what Troy Aikman's finisher would be, right?
Which was a theme for a lot of them.
And then the other time they had the football guys talk, they had the halftime panel. And they didn't talk about current superstars either. They talked about
like Hulk Hogan,
who was the best of all time. Yeah. And someone mentions Hulk Hogan, and I'm like, oh, talking about a racist on Fox.
Yeah, and not only that, but you also had the same last night on USA Network where you had all the
USA people at least talked about modern wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like the guys from Psych talked about Becky Lynch, and I think they talked about Brock Lesnar and a couple of other, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I know with the NHL guys and Catherine Tappan, I think they talked a little bit more of the past though.
Yeah.
Because I know Jeremy Roenick more brought up, like, I think he brought up, like, Shawn Michaels or something like that. He didn't bring up current guys. And Keith Jones didn't really say much of anything because Keith Jones is like, why am I having to do this? Which was funny.
Oh, we're going to talk about Lesnar in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to Lesnar in a moment because he's part of draft day number two.
Yeah.
Although, and this was actually where the trade talk actually started happening, because they had that Jay guy who does like the fantasy stuff for Fox, for NFL, and he was going on about how a big trade is going to come down, and he's getting it from reliable sources. So that was the beginning of where the trade talk actually began. And then obviously it was continued last night when Booker T talked about it on the draft panel.
Yeah.
Because Booker T kind of spoiled the fact that a trade is in fact happening on Backstage tonight after the ALCS game on FS1. So with that going into day two, there are 30 picks for this one. For this one, you have Seth Rollins going first overall with Brock Lesnar going second overall to SmackDown.
Yep.
And I'm just going to say this right now. It is Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw, Raw, SmackDown.
So
that's how it goes.
Since we're on the topic of Brock Lesnar,
and Jordan wants to talk about Lesnar,
who's his match at Crown Jewel with?
Kane Velasquez.
With
the title on the line.
Okay. What brand's Kane on?
Neither.
Yeah, even though he signed a multi-year deal with the WWE and ended his UFC career, he didn't get drafted.
He wasn't part of the draft.
The main fucking title on the flagship show is being competed by two ex-UFC guys that have a feud from a fucking decade ago. And they wonder why we don't care.
Yep. So,
In all fairness, Jordan, Kane did train and fight in Lucha Libre a lot, and he would still be in Lucha Libre if money wasn't a factor, but apparently WWE backed up the money truck, so
AEW is also trying to back up the money trucks to him too.
They did not counter offer.
Really?
No, they did not.
Because I remember he was talking to AEW because he is friends with Cody.
Yeah, so. But like a report came out that like WWE backed up the money truck, made an offering. AEW did not counter offer. So. Wow.
So moving on, Charlotte went number 3 to Raw. New Day went to SmackDown. Yep. Now here's where a couple things get a little interesting because we didn't deal with this the first night. Andrade was drafted 5th overall by Raw with Zelina Vega.
Yep.
I'm going to bring up why that's an interesting point in a little bit when I get to another draft
number
pick.
12. Yeah.
Yes. Then in the second round, you had the Kabuki Warriors drafted to Raw.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If you were Fox, if you were Raw, and on the table was the Kabuki Warriors, WWE Women's Tag Team Champions.
Yep.
And Bayley, current SmackDown Women's Champion. Who would you pick? You'd pick Bayley.
Yeah.
The women's tag team champions got drafted before the SmackDown women's champion.
Yep.
The women's tag team champions got drafted before the Intercontinental champion.
Yep. And then Daniel Bryan went to SmackDown. Rusev went to Raw. Bayley was then drafted at number 9 to SmackDown. And Aleister Black went at number 10 to end the second round. Now going into the third round, Raw would select Cedric Alexander. SmackDown would select Shinsuke Nakamura with Sami Zayn. And it came out that Sami Zayn negotiated in the contract that him and Shinsuke Nakamura have to be a pair.
Yeah.
The next pick, Raw selected at number 13, Humberto Carrillo from the draft day one pool.
Yep.
14 was Ali.
Remember when we talked about sticking to your own rules, making a draft work?
Yeah. this ain't it. Number 14, the SmackDown was Ali, and then number 15 to Raw was Eric Rowan. Then in round number 4, Buddy Murphy would go to Raw. Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode would go to SmackDown after losing the tag team titles to the Viking Raiders. Jinder Mahal, who is currently out due to knee surgery, was selected 18th to Raw.
Jinder Mahal was drafted higher than Samoa Joe, Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable, Elias, let's say
The Miz and Corbin. Luke
Harper, Miz. Who's that guy? Oh yeah, Cesaro.
Since we're breaking the rules now.
Jinder's currently injured. Jordan. So technically, yes, but he's on the shelf for the long-term injury right now.
Yeah, although I think they said something, he should be back for Mania season from his knee surgery.
Yeah, probably.
Next up, you had Carmella going to SmackDown 19 and R-Truth going to Raw with the 20th pick. An interesting note about this one is that because the WWE 24/7 title is a USA Network creation, it is to remain on USA, so you will not see the title on Fox much.
They're still doing their thing of keeping couples together because Charlotte and Andrade went to the same place.
Yep.
Zelina and Aleister went to the same place.
Carmella
went to SmackDown to be with Corey Graves.
Yep. Going into the 5th round, Samoa Joe went to Raw, who's also currently out injured with a wrist injury or a hand injury.
But he can still technically go because he's got his hand in a cast. So.
Yeah. Then
Mella's got more. Jordan says, shit, I like Truth Mella. Mella needs to stop being someone's sidekick.
Yeah, she needs to do
her
own thing.
She's got value as a performer on her own.
Yeah. The Miz would go 22nd overall to SmackDown. Akira Tozawa. Miz
continues to make history, by the way, by being the only superstar to change brands in every draft they have been available for.
Yeah. Akira Tozawa went 23rd to Raw by coming out of
205 Live.
Coming out of the draft day one pool.
Yep. So at 23, they drafted Akira Tozawa.
And then
from Friday's draft.
Yep. Then SmackDown selected King Corbin with the 24th pick, and the 25th pick was Shelton Benjamin.
Hang on. King Corbin goes at 24 on Monday.
Yep.
If you are trying to make the King of the Ring prestigious, don't feed him to The Rock. And don't draft him 24th. Draft him higher.
Yeah. And then Shelton Benjamin went 25th to Raw. And then
you can't really do 55 picks overall, Jordan, because he just literally wasn't available on Friday.
Yeah. There's, like I said, there were two draft pools, 30 people for Friday and 40 people for.
It's one of the reasons this draft was such a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Because the very first set of draftees, both major champions weren't available, which made no sense. Those should have been the first people on the block.
Yeah. And then in the final round, 26, Raw selected Rey Mysterio. Shorty Gable was selected 27th by SmackDown from the day one draft pool.
Yep.
Titus O'Neil went 28th to Raw. Elias went 29th to SmackDown.
Titus O'Neil drafted above Luke Harper, AOP, Cesaro.
And the final pick to Raw.
The Iconics.
The final pick to Raw was Liv Morgan. Now, here's who did not get drafted from that draft pool real quick. As you had mentioned, Luke Harper, AOP, Mojo Rawley, No Way Jose, Dana Brooke, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, The Iconics, Sarah Logan, Fire and Desire, and Drake Maverick.
They did discuss the rules on here. They discussed them at the beginning of the draft on SmackDown. And
they
did it at the beginning of the draft on Raw.
Yeah, they did. As well. They explained the rules on Friday and on Monday. They also had a posting on the website with full details with the draft pools, so everyone knew who were in the draft pools. Also, just to throw this out there, I know you and I have talked about this.
Jordan makes an excellent point here. World titles, women's titles, King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, mid-card titles, tag titles, those should be your first 10 picks. That literally was unable to happen. As we established, only the U.S. champion, the
Raw Women's Champion,
Women's Champion,
and the SmackDown
Tag Champions were available on Friday.
Yeah. So, one thing that we've noted, the Ascension are healthy and are at every show. We're not in either draft pool. The Colognes are healthy and traveling, not in the draft pool. Matt Hardy is healthy but taking a break, was not part of the draft pool. Lana was not in the draft pool. And the Usos, who were supposed to come back a couple weeks ago.
I think she's going to go with Bobby Lashley.
I think so too. And then the Usos, who were supposed to be back a couple weeks ago, along with Sheamus, were also not in the draft pool.
Usos are off now. Usos fall into a category alongside Alicia Fox. They are, and probably Jeff Hardy when he gets part medically cleared, in so far as they are being kept off TV due to other factors.
Yeah.
I know that at least one of the Usos is probably with Naomi, because Naomi was hurt and then she's having to deal with like some major deaths in her family.
Yeah.
But the other Uso needs to pull his head out of the alcohol.
Yeah. And then not only that, but like as you mentioned with Naomi with the injury and the family stuff, Nia Jax.
A lot of people who were injured weren't even in draft pools.
Whereas there were like five people who were out injured drafted.
Yeah.
So like so that's Nia Jax, Ruby Riott, Ember Moon, Jeff Hardy, Lars Sullivan, Mickie James. There's been that current storyline with Mike and Maria Kanellis. And Mike was just recently on 205 Live this past Friday.
And he just asked for his release.
And he just asked for his release. Yeah. They were not part of the draft pools either going into it. So there's a lot of... so yeah, and it's just interesting. So
let's go down the list, right? Of the undrafted people, what would you do with them?
Cesaro NXT.
Cesaro would show up on Wednesday and just kill Walter. Just like snap him in half.
So Cesaro I have going to NXT.
What would you do with Luke Harper? I'd send him with Rowan.
I would send him with Rowan too, but I'm actually going to read something to you real quick.
Okay.
Because as you're saying...
I know that Big Dave has come out and said that like they have no plans for Luke Harper.
Well,
like, they only had plans up to that like pay-per-view match.
Well, no, that was the whole Rowan Reigns storyline.
No. But like Uncle Dave has come out and said it, in reference to Luke Harper... They've got no more ideas with him.
So
at this point,
the one thing that you touched base on was the like the couples thing, like why was Andrade moved to Raw with Zelina? Well, because he's dating Charlotte and Zelina's.
No, that's not why I. That's not what I said. Why I just said that they did that. I didn't say that's why it happened.
But it's also the explanation for separating R-Truth and Carmella, and also the fact about the 24/7 title. Rusev stayed on Raw because WWE is very high on Lana's current storyline with Bobby Lashley. Humberto was drafted to Raw because the WWE believes
they want him to be the next Latin sensation. Yeah.
They want him to be the one to replace Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
So Paul Heyman did get Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black. Rumors had been going since the draft was announced that Heyman had been pulling to get them. SmackDown got Brock Lesnar because they had an agreement that they would get someone established outside of wrestling. Authors of Pain, this is the interesting one. Mm-hmm. Authors of Pain are on Raw, and it's believed they will start a program with the new tag team champions, the Viking Raiders.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, that just makes sense because they both came out of NXT pretty much undefeated.
Yeah. Like, but the interesting thing is that like they're pretty much saying they're with Raw, but we haven't heard anything about any of these undrafted free agents from last night going anywhere.
So Meltzer on Luke Harper, when he came back, they only had an idea or ideas up until that last pay-per-view. It was basically to set up that tag team match with Roman and Daniel Bryan. That's it. That's all they had.
I could see him going to Raw to be with Rowan. But
I mean, they don't work unless they're together.
Yeah. AOP, obviously, it's pretty much been spoiled that they're going to go to Raw.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley, No Way Jose, I don't care.
Mojo Rawley, No Way Jose, I would have them show up at the unemployment line.
I've seen an emphasis trying to build up a tag team division on SmackDown, so I would probably put Hawkins and Ryder there.
Where is Heath Slater?
Heath Slater went to SmackDown.
Then I will put them on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of their figure podcast, and the two of them with Heath Slater is fucking magic. You should just make the three of them a stable and let them go.
Oh, and also throwing this out there, in regards to the Kabuki Warriors with the women's tag team titles. Mm-hmm. The tag team titles will be defended on both shows, on both Raw and SmackDown. However, if the Kabuki Warriors lose the tag team titles, they will remain on Raw.
How does that... I don't like
Because Raw drafted them.
But I don't like that they're going to be... like. It's just the wild card rule again, but with a specific team.
Yeah, but the thing is that the Kabuki Warriors would remain on Raw because they were drafted by Raw, so Raw holds the rights.
Yeah, that's
so fair. So that's why it works.
No, that part makes sense. What I'm saying is, it doesn't make sense that to have separate rosters except for this one title.
Yeah,
it just doesn't.
Honestly, Sarah Logan, I would throw on Raw because she's married to one of the Viking Raiders.
Yep.
Dana Brooke, I'd put on SmackDown.
Yep.
See, it's really tough because
Mandy Rose and Sarah Logan, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, I would send to, send to SmackDown as well.
Here's the thing though. Are they going to be faces or are they going to be heels? Because if you look at SmackDown's women's roster,
yeah,
you got Sasha Banks and Bayley, who are your top two heels. And then you also have Lacey Evans, who's a heel.
Mm-hmm. But then you've got Mella,
who's a face.
And you've got...
That's it.
Wow.
That's it. That's yeah, why
I would turn Fire and Desire face.
And then put Dana Brooke on there too.
Yeah.
And then where would that leave the Iconics of Peyton Royce and Billy Kay?
I'd send them to Raw. With Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and the Kabuki Warriors.
Yeah. And then... But then, yeah, No Way Jose and Mojo Rawley, I got nothing for them. Harper for the Raw to put with Rowan. Cesaro goes to NXT. Drake Maverick.
I'd send him wherever R-Truth is.
Which is Raw.
Yeah.
But isn't he still the general manager of 205 Live?
They just drafted all of 205 Live.
No, they didn't, actually.
You know what I mean. They drafted people away from 205 Live.
Because there's another free agent that I completely forgot to put on the list. Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
Brian Kendrick was not part of either draft pool and is considered a free agent now.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is like...
So, yeah. Oh, and also, funny fact, the day one draft pool, so when it was released...
Apparently is Slater and the Broskies had a tweet or two back and forth about, did we get drafted? You should come to SmackDown, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but they... But the first day draft pool, when it was put up on the website, was the exact order that the draft went, with the exception of a couple picks.
Well, basically what had happened is when they sent out the draft order is when they sent it to people, they were like, put this in alphabetical order before you post it, and then no one did.
Oh, and Shotzi Black just confirmed that she's coming to NXT.
Who?
Shotzi Blackheart.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Triple H just retweeted a tweet about it. So, but yeah, so that was the draft.
Overall, it was garbage. Absolute trash tier garbage.
I mean, and one of the things that we read leading up to this was that a lot of people were going to be staying on the shows that they were on. It's just there are going to be more minor shakeups with other people.
Yeah.
Especially for the fact that you're bringing in some 205 Live talent into the mix and stuff like that. So you want to announce our big thing?
I'll let you do it.
All right. So ladies and gentlemen, as we mentioned at the very beginning of the show, I'm actually doing a convention appearance next weekend at DerpyCon in Morristown, New Jersey. I'll be doing Derpy Mania 2, the pro wrestling fan panel. I actually might have a special guest on the panel, to be determined, ? We are not going to do Facebook Live this time. We're just going to do a hard record and then release it on the website, because the internet is bad at that hotel. Fair enough. But the guest that I'm getting, potentially getting, is a cosplay guest of the convention who has worked with some people in WWE before, so he actually has a lot of wrestling knowledge. And that, like I said, is still to be determined. We don't know if it's going to be able to work out. They told me that he's interested though in doing the panel. So that's little thing number one. Now the big thing, when I come back from DerpyCon, Awesome Mania is going to be holding its draft.
Yes.
Where Jordan, Ben, and I, we are going to be taking over three brands in WWE 2K20, which comes out next Tuesday. And we will be drafting our rosters for universe mode. Yes, Jordan. Yes, you.
Remember when Mike reached out to you about draft rules, Jordan?
I even told Jordan that he was part of the draft. It's three brands.
And I would like to announce right now, I will be drafting on behalf of the best brand, NXT.
And I will be drafting on behalf of Raw.
Well, you and Jordan can sort that out.
Yeah, we can sort that out later. We'll fist fight
for it. But considering whenever we go anywhere, I pay for the fucking hotel.
Yeah.
I'm choosing my fucking brand.
Yes, that is true. So Ben has NXT. Jordan and I will sort out who gets Raw and SmackDown later.
Yeah. And we will have no one on our rosters. We will determine a draft order. There will be some twists. I think one of the rules was you have to draft at least one female wrestler for every five others.
Yeah.
Duel outside Ogrimmar in 10 minutes.
But the other thing is that, what we're also going to be doing is because we're going to be utilizing WWE 2K20.
Yep.
I am actually going to have WWE 2K20 loaded up in my PS4. We are going to be streaming the WWE 2K portion on my channel, which will be seen live here on 3-2-1.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to capture Mike's stream and put it up here.
On 3-2-1.
On 3-2-1. You won't see our faces. We'll all be on Discord. Mike and I are very much aware that Jordan isn't as up on all of WWE as
That's right. Jordan has three-man Zoom.
You do, but then I would have to make a three-man Zoom overlay, and I can't be fucked. considering it hurts to sit up right now, because fuck my life. We know that Jordan isn't as au fait with modern WWE as Mike and I are. So we've often done things like you're allowed to take a couple of draft picks from outside of WWE, which wouldn't be represented in the rosters of the WWE 2K. We've also allowed for some legends, which while WWE 2K20 does have a list of legends, it certainly has some fucking holes.
And here's the thing. Next week we're gonna work on the draft pool.
Yeah.
The draft pools will be men, women, and then legends, because we're going with the game.
Tag teams, we have the rule that you can draft tag teams as a team.
Yeah. So we're gonna have we're gonna have all the pools. We're gonna get it set up next week before I leave for DerbyCon. And then hopefully we'll have everything finalized, and actually we'll probably do a website post.
Yeah,
we will also all the rules and the draft pools.
Once we've sorted out who's controlling which shows, we're also going to assign kayfabe GMs. So there'll be like us as the control and then GMs as just like a in-character figurehead kind of thing.
Yeah. So we got a lot of cool things that we planned. And one of the things that we're hoping to do is also kind of, you know, have the 2K20 universe that we're drafting have kind of a long-term thing throughout the season.
This is somewhat inspired by something me, my friend Matt, and my friend Mansi used to do. And every year that a new 2K, a new game came out, we would draft it amongst the three brands. And we would run a universe mode, and we would write storylines, and we'd do, like, we had a text message thread that was all press releases about trades and shit. And it was great. And I don't know whether we're going to be able to follow through on that for this awesome Mania thing.
We'll try our best, especially the fact that I'm actually before we did this recording, I actually did do a job interview-esque with a temp firm, and they might have already found me a new position starting on the 29th of October. So
long story.
Actually, the 30th of October. So, yeah.
Long story short, we're gonna say that. Well, we're gonna do the draft. We can't. Yeah, we may do news posts occasionally of like how like.
And
now I'm going to have storylines in mind when I book.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Even if we can't do it on a regular basis for Awesome Mania.
Yeah.
You and Jordan can also feed me your storylines and I can input it into the game and I can put up an X75 unsanctioned stream where we put up the universe so people can see our Awesome Mania universe have its 2K20 thing.
So, WWE on Fox an hour ago announced in tonight's special preview, WWE Backstage, Christian and Paige join Renee Young, WWE, at Booker T to break down the WWE draft, blockbuster trade, and more, right? But let me bring this up because you need to see this.
Whoa. Eric Bischoff comments on his departure.
Hold on.
Go do your thing. On.
Let me bring this up because this might be, I don't know what the fuck's happened here. Look at this. What the fuck happened to Paige's face?
Wait, what?
Look at that picture.
Hold on. It didn't get to me.
It's on the stream.
Oh, it's on. What the heck?
Oh, let me. It looks like she's in 2K20. Face is so bad. I blew it up and then the face went away and he's got a picture of him.
I got on my phone now. It looks like she got like something done to her lips or something.
I don't know.
That
what the fuck?
Oh, by the way, speaking about WWE Backstage.
Where did you see the Bischoff thing?
On Twitter. On his Twitter.
Yeah.
Bischoff retweeting a Ryan Satin tweet where WWE has confirmed that Eric Bischoff is officially done with the company altogether, not just being replaced in the position. Bischoff retweeted it with the comment, "Bruce is a great producer, good friend, and I am certain he is going to thrive in his position. He's going to be working with a great team of the most dedicated..."
E. Bischoff.
"Most dedicated and hardworking people I've had the pleasure of working with and getting to know."
Why can I not find Eric Bischoff's Twitter?
Here, I just retweeted it on my personal Twitter account. Also, side note, because we're talking about WWE Backstage real quick.
Yeah.
CM Punk is pretty much kind of a lock now.
Yeah.
Because if you go to his Pro Wrestling Tees store, all of his shirts have been taken down with the exception of one shirt that says CM Punk sucks. Which I thought was really funny.
And then also he's doing a Reddit AMA for his movie and I'm sure it'll come up there. So
yeah.
And Fox were kind of teasing him for a thing.
He's been open that he's been auditioning for it.
Yeah.
So he's been pretty open about it.
Let me see if I can get
I wonder what this blockbuster trade is.
It's the Fiend for someone. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, because we know Paul Heyman wants Bray Wyatt.
Otherwise, they've given away the ending of the match in fucking Saudi Arabia. There you go.
Here you go. I'm in the actual press release. WWE Backstage special preview airs tonight following Astros Yankees ALCS Game 3 on FS1. WWE superstars Paige and Christian join host Renee Young and analyst Booker T. Special appearance from five-time MLB All-Star and WWE superfan Adam Jones. Mm-hmm. WWE legend Shawn Michaels and Sting break down their favorite match of all time.
Okay.
Let's see here. But then it actually says nothing about the trade.
But the tweet I read on WWE.
Yeah, I know. Fox, I'm looking at. I know that's where I went into the actual release. So like I found the tweet and then I clicked on their little press release, and it says nothing about a Blockbuster trade in the press release. Unless it.
Oh, another interesting piece of information. It turns out that Tyson Fury is set to make $15 million for the Saudi Arabia appearance. Oh, we can also get another history maker here in Carmella. She is the only superstar to have never left SmackDown since the 2016 draft.
Nice. That was something interesting last night for the Viking Raiders on Raw. They openly acknowledged the IWGP Tag Team and Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships on Monday Night Raw after they won the Raw Tag Team titles.
Yep.
And WWE also just retweeted Eric 4 hours ago where he touts that fact as well.
And he's got, there's a picture of them holding all four sets of belts.
Yep. I'm like on the WWE Twitter account right now just going like, so what's this announcement? Oh, apparently they put more people on Team Flair and Team Hogan. Oh,
right. Really?
Team Hogan now consists of Seth Rollins, Rusev, and Ricochet, whereas Team Flair consists of Orton, Corbin, Lashley, and Shinsuke.
Right.
So Flair's going to get one more member and Hogan's going to get two more.
Right. Hang on a minute. Who's on Team Hogan?
Seth, Rusev, and Ricochet. With two to be determined.
And then who's on Team Flair?
Orton, Corbin, Lashley, Shinsuke, one to be determined.
Orton,
Baron Corbin,
Corbin,
Bobby Lashley, and Shinsuke Nakamura, with one to be determined.
So all of Hogan's team is from Raw. And the other team has two and two.
So far, yeah.
All right. I think we've done the draft to death at this point, other than to say drafts don't work unless you have all the stuff that make a draft work. And the WWE doesn't. They don't have stakes coming out the other end of it. They don't have highlighting on like where the weaknesses are in various rosters. They don't have the talent reactions. They don't have everything else that's built up around that.
Yeah.
And not gonna lie, with the exception of like Heath Slater and Drew Gulak, and maybe the New Day, I'm way more excited for Raw's roster than I am for SmackDown's.
You know, it's funny, like when they did the first draft in 2016,
SmackDown crushed it.
Oh, yeah, SmackDown crushed it. SmackDown had a better tag team division. They had a better women's division. They just had a better overall roster. And, like, now it's kind of like the flip side of it, where this time around, Raw got the better roster over SmackDown. And not only that, but also SmackDown got the better writing team.
Oh.
The last time. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, this Friday is
the revival as well.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, this Friday will be the true beginning of the new era.
Yep.
Of WWE. Now that the draft is officially over, well, over as in tonight with backstage.
Yep. Well, the draft is over, and now it's trade season.
Yeah.
If you want to continue to use sports type analogies.
Yeah, it's trade season, probably just for today. And then, but One thing that I really hope, I mean, we both agree, Cesaro to NXT, hands down. But the number one thing is that, like, we're seeing
that's not the only thing I want. I absolutely want to see Slater, Hawkins, and Ryder in a stable.
I was just about to say, like, keep up what they're doing on Twitter right now with those three.
Yeah.
About the, like, hey, come to SmackDown. Like, make that a storyline. Like, make some storylines out of these guys who did not get drafted.
Yeah.
Kind of like the original draft of Heath Slater. He wasn't drafted at all. And they spent, like, what was it, two, three months of him trying to get on a contract to be on a show.
There was a very cool what was it? I just had a brain fart. Keep talking, Mike.
Brain fart. So Bannon just put in a thing. I really need Cornette's take on the Bischoff situation. Mm-hmm. No, we really don't.
Nah.
Like, I've met and I've interviewed Jim Cornette, and he was, like, the nicest person to me, and he was a pleasure to talk to. But like Ben said at the very beginning of the show,
he's a sexist, outdated pig.
Yeah. So
sadly,
yeah. And then Bannon also said, "Who wants to bet that the professional boxer doesn't knock out the non-professional boxer?"
Well, it's not a boxing match. That's the point. It's a wrestling match, isn't it?
Yeah, and
is Tyson it a boxing match.
No, it's a wrestling match. And Tyson Fury is in fact training at the Performance Center for this match with Braun Strowman at Crown Jewel. And think of it essentially kind of the way it was with Floyd Mayweather versus the Big Show at WrestleMania 23.
Okay.
Think of it like that. Like, that's the best way to put it, because WWE just tweeted like 30 minutes ago, relive Big Show's classic with Floyd Mayweather as preparation for Tyson Fury versus Braun Strowman.
I do want to, I'm going to bring something else up on the stream here. So keep talking.
Actually, I think it would be cool if Strowman actually went over Fury, but you know that's not going to happen. And you know Lesnar is going to go over Cain Velasquez.
I wouldn't be too sure about that.
Oh, the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah. All I know is...
The whole point of not drafting him is so that he can go wherever he wants, right?
Yeah. And then what was it? Oh, the tag team... gauntlet match for best tag team in the world.
Yeah. Did you see Big E's tweet?
No, I didn't see
Big E's. He's like, if we can get the son of a billionaire to replace us halfway through the match, we've won for sure.
But no, like there's... Right,
I'm ready to bring this up.
Okay, well, they had like... what? Like, again, where's the Ascension? You have them on the roster. You have them traveling with you.
Yeah. But I wouldn't classify them as the best tag team in the world.
I wouldn't either. But the thing is that how great would it be if they came in and picked up a couple wins?
And won. Like, yeah.
Well, not necessarily. No, they didn't necessarily have to win. But pick up a couple wins and knock out a couple teams before getting knocked out themselves. That alone would rebuild a little bit of momentum from them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see. They don't have to win the thing.
I'm bringing this up.
Go ahead. Bannon, thanks for joining us, man.
Catch you later, Bannon. These are some pictures of faces from 2K20. I particularly want to draw attention.
Molly Holly. Yay.
Yeah, I particularly want to draw attention.
To Edge?
Nope. To Tyler Breeze.
John Cena looks like JBL. Oh, there's Tyler. Like, I don't have it all blown up on my thing.
You do now.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Tyler.
Why does Tyler Breeze look like Akira Tozawa?
Why does Tyler Breeze look like Fandango a little bit, but with slightly longer hair?
And there's Matt Hardy. This is another particularly good one in Mandy Rose. That looks just like Mandy, right?
All right, hold on. I'm looking at Matt right now because there's like a 30-second delay with the stream. Mandy looks like Trish Stratus.
Yeah, yeah. Then there's... Come on. Candice LeRae.
Whatever it gets there. I'm looking at a corner. Oh, there's Candice. Candice looks like Molly Holly.
Yep.
So I'm totally now going to do a Candice.
Rhea Ripley.
No. Now I'm going to totally do a Candice LeRae versus Molly Holly match in WWE 2K20 and go, which one's Molly?
Uh-huh. Rhea Ripley. It sure looks like Rhea Ripley. Doesn't look like Rhea Ripley.
Like, did 2K20 even try? Like, did 2K even try with this one? And apparently, I was reading something on, I think it was Victor of the Ascension's Twitter account. Yeah. He was responding to comments from people about 2K20, like, why isn't the Ascension in the game? Why isn't Killian Dane in the game? Apparently, they were told, like, Killian came out and said it, that 2K told them they didn't want him in the game, that they weren't picking up their likeness.
There's Ronda Rousey.
I'm looking at Matt Hardy. All right, there's Ronda Rousey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some pretty egregious faces here. At least.
Well, did you
at least see... this looks more like Paige than the fucking picture that Fox had.
So did you did you see the video? For Adam, did you see the video for Adam Cole's entrance?
Yes.
That was bad.
Eh, it's not as bad as some have been.
Now, last
year when Kyle O'Reilly came down and didn't play air guitar, it was really a riot.
I was just about to say, what happens if he doesn't have his
air guitar? It's going to be a fight. All right, let's come back to the main thing. I think we've kind of done our duty for today.
Yeah.
It's only 3 segments today because fuck me, we had to talk about the draft.
Yeah, and we started around like 1:45, 2 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, and it's now like 4:30.
Yeah.
So we've been gone a minute. Yeah, so thanks for watching, everyone.
Yep. Yep, and
thanks for listening to those of you that listen on the website.
Keep an eye out for the draft pool and the rules of our Awesomania draft, which will be next episode.
Yeah,
and then and the next thing after that is Full Gear for us.
Yeah, yeah. So. Don't be surprised if you want to catch more from my tweet source. You can. At Bob T. Goldfish on the Twitters. You can find the channel on which we do the video at 321 TV. I might be back on for a stream after this if I can swing it for a little bit of WoW, maybe, especially if Jordan's up for it.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more.
I might be on for some WoW dailies or something, just to chill and talk about 8.3 and that kind of thing. But you can find the channel here at 321 podcast or twitch.tv/321_TV. Or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com. 3 Topics, 2 Guys, 1 Podcast. Even though we've been trying desperately to change it, but Facebook are being buttholes.
Yep. And then, of course, you can find me on the Twitters at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And before I have to go back into servitude of working full time again, I'm trying to do a few more Twitch streams every now and then on my Twitch channel of the Michael X75. I've been doing mostly a run through of Horizon Zero Dawn lately.
Mm-hmm. How's that going? I really enjoy that game.
I really love that game. I'm still like in the beginning phases of the game. So like I'm only putting in like maybe an hour or two at a time. And I'm like one of those people who likes to scour everything.
Yeah.
So
you're like me.
So it's going to take me a while before I try to stick to the missions, but then I go, ooh, shiny. And then
shiny thing. I want to go over here.
Yeah. So that's the Michael X75. Funny fact, I have a second channel, which is for the hockey, and I actually just created a Twitch Prime account for that one, but not for the other one. So, well, it's because of the stuff I'm doing with the National Women's Hockey League.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why I put Twitch Prime on my hockey channel and not on my personal, but I probably will open up a Twitch Prime account for my personal account as well.
All right, so what we're going to do is...
Don't forget to say your catch line.
I'm not gonna say, not gonna forget to say the catch line, but we're gonna wrap up the recording of the podcast here, but we'll be on stream for about a couple minutes more. So stick with us. So, in the words of the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other, and party on non-gender specific honorifics.